Support for WYPR comes from the Park School of Baltimore's Saturday morning Rise and Shine activity sessions for children 3 to 5 years of age. Nature expedition through the Park School woods is April 20th. parkschool.net/shine.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We are on the record. Nearly a year into the COVID-19 pandemic shutdown, life is still, well, kind of shut down. Vaccines are available, but not enough yet for everyone eligible. The doses that are out there seem fortressed by what feel like impossible-to-come-by appointments. But still, about one of every eight Marylanders has managed to receive at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. On the Record producer Melissa Geer spoke to several people still trying to secure their spot in the queue and to others about how being vaccinated has affected their outlook.
I felt tremendous relief and actually had tears of joy in my eyes when I got my first vaccine dose. It really felt like an incredibly important moment. I felt such gratitude for the existence of the vaccine, such gratitude for the science behind it.
Dr. Netta Freja is a primary care internist in Ellicott City. Many of her patients are eligible, but have yet to get vaccinated, though a handful have managed to make it through the system.
So I do have some patients who feel so relieved that they can finally travel to see their grandchildren. They have not even allowed themselves to go to the grocery store for a whole year, and they are so excited just to go back to their local grocery store and walk around the aisles a little bit. So I think the vaccine provides a really important measure of just peace of mind.
Zachary Berger has mixed feelings after getting the COVID-19 vaccine. He's a doctor at Johns Hopkins Hospital and a staff physician at the Esperanza Center Health Clinic, caring for undocumented Spanish-speaking patients.
After getting it, I felt like that I was privileged to get this vaccine when so many people couldn't and so many of my patients still didn't have access to it. And I felt some measure of guilt that I got it before so many other people that were working in the ICU, that I got my vaccine before they did, and that made me feel kind of guilty. Just because of the randomness of scheduling and how disorganized everything is. And then I felt guilty that my patients were getting it after I was. And then happiness that I wouldn't feel as worried about transmitting to my family.
But he says, most of all, it literally and figuratively gave him a shot in the arm to speak out.
I do feel a sense of determination to help with vaccine distribution in an advocacy role and a desire to see things distributed more equitably. You know, I have a lot of healthcare workers in my social media feeds, and a lot of them have used the opportunity of their getting vaccinated to like use it as to be propaganda for vaccines. I think it's perfectly legitimate and fine. Like, here I am getting vaccinated, you should too, right? That's one model of communicating. I don't think that really fixes a lot of things. And so what my approach is, I'm getting vaccinated, let's make this so that other groups can have this experience, and we're going to have to change things to make that possible. It's not just a you emulating me. It's a we're going to have to work together to make this an experience that's available to more people.
I decided to enroll in the study because, one, it increased my possibility of getting a vaccine early, and I just felt like I could do something for the rest of the world by enrolling in this study and being part of this.
Renee Wilson in Northeast Baltimore joined the Pfizer-BioNTech trial in September. Last month, she learned she had received the active vaccine, not a placebo.
I still wear my mask. I limit my exposure to strangers. Yeah, and I always wash my hands. I keep hand sanitizer in my purse, which I never used to do because I hate that stuff. But I feel like I can do something like maybe take a vacation with a friend, which I have decided to do, but that wouldn't have even come into my head.
I was fearful in getting something that was rushed, and we didn't know the long-term effects.
Gregory Terry, a nurse at MedStar Franklin Square Medical Center in Baltimore, was hesitant about the vaccine at first, but when it became available, he didn't hedge. Now he uses his status as a platform.
They also recognize the need as an African-American male in healthcare to speak about the fact that, hey, I had a headache for a few weeks, and then since then, I've been fine. So, I think it's important that the African American community hears it from other African Americans in healthcare specifically, that, hey, it's okay.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. On the Record producer Melissa Gear has been talking to several Marylanders about what it feels like to be buttressed with some immunity to the coronavirus, and now to others who are still waiting to get their shots.
Jackie Oldham says she believes in science. She attributes that to her years spent working as an editor for medical publications in Baltimore City. So she doesn't feel wary of a vaccine that was developed much faster than it would have taken decades ago. But she also came to that trust from life experience.
I lived through the polio vaccines. I got the sugar cube when I was in elementary school. I wore my smallpox scar as a badge of honor. There's so many diseases that have been alleviated, if not conquered, by the use of vaccines. So I see the importance of education and access to information and a restoring of trust in those agencies that handle all of those aspects of delivering good medicine to people. And also that as an African-American woman, I've had access to good and sustained medical care, which I also know is not always the case.
She's still trying to get an appointment for the vaccine and knows she's competing with many others who are eligible and some who are not.
It is infuriating. I liken it to the Hunger Games, where, you're forced to go out and fight for this really necessary, incredibly vital vaccine. And you're, just being pitted against each other, and in a large degree based on your income, because if you've got money, you've got connections, and it seems like you're able to, jump the line and get in there.
Dr. Netta Freja says she's frustrated because she can't help her patients get appointments, but she does commiserate with them.
They're restless, they're anxious, they're impatient. They've been hunkering down and distancing and masking for a year now, and they're really ready to try to move on with their lives. So they're eager. They hear stories of their friends getting the vaccine, or, there are reports of people in other states that are getting the vaccine sooner than they are, and they just want it.
Some of her patients are getting creative in their searches, too.
I have some who are quite tech savvy, well over the age of 65 and able to wait on all the different platforms and log in and try to see if there are any appointments available that day. I have a number of patients whose kids and grandkids are helping them. I have one lady who, has actually driven around to different sites just to see if they might happen to have a vaccine available. So they're tackling it a whole number of different ways.
Savvy with online appointments and waiting lists, Sarah Torvik in Montgomery County says she just feels frustrated.
It's easy to get very impatient waiting. It seems like much longer than a month since I signed up pre-registered on the county site, but it actually has only been a month, which tells me that I am probably more worried about it than I think I am. And of course, as I hear about other people being vaccinated who live elsewhere, relatives, friends, and so forth, it's that feeling of, okay, why not me? What's happening here? That and the fact that links are being passed on to people who really aren't at the front of the queue is a little frustrating also. We don't like to see anyone game the system, right?
She acknowledged the supply and demand problems and general chaos surrounding the appointment process, but there are other reasons that could prolong her wait.
There's the whole question of equity as far as race and income and so forth. Now, hopefully that won't impact negatively on other demographics like age and so forth. I totally agree with the equity question, but again, it's like, oh, wonderful, slip through the cracks.
Here's a bright note. The last voice you heard, Sarah Torvik, has been vaccinated since On the Record producer Melissa Gear spoke with her. The retirement community where she lives set up two exclusive vaccination sites where she registered and got an appointment the first day. We also heard from Dr. Netta Freha, Dr. Zachary Berger, Gregory Terry, and Jackie Oldham. I'm Sheila Cast. This is On the Record on WYPR. Short break now, and then a Stoop story. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.